Okay, we're going to get started. My name is Veronica with Grow Hemp Colorado. This is Grow Hemp Colorado's free conference call. We used to have these before. We're getting them restarted again. Today we are discussing Grow Hemp, the GW Pharmaceutical Bill here in Colorado, which is House Bill 18-1187. Typically how these calls work, I usually mute everybody if I hear a lot of background noise. We'll give some time for some Q&A at the end or in between discussions. These calls are recorded, so they will be available for future listening down the road. So anyone who's listening now, thanks for participating. Anyone listening to the recording down the road, if you have questions, there will be some information provided throughout this call to let you know where to stay updated. Again, I'm Veronica with Grow Hemp Colorado. I also do have Cindy Sovine. Forgive me if I said that wrong. She is the other hemp lobbyist. I'm not a lobbyist, but she's the hemp lobbyist with Hoban, HIA Colorado chapter, and the Roundtable. So she can introduce herself also in a minute. We did have a call this afternoon at noon. So this is a second call for today to kind of update everybody on what happened on the last Thursday's meeting on the 15th. It also is to update everybody where we're at with committee since there's been a number of changes even over the weekend. So first, let me start off by saying there is no committee hearing tomorrow on HB 18-1187, so the GW Pharmaceutical Bill will not be heard tomorrow at committee. It has been postponed. We're not sure to when, but it will be rescheduled, so we'll keep everyone up to date on when that's going to be. So let's just overview quickly what has happened. So there was a stakeholders meeting on last Thursday, February 15th, and in that stakeholders meeting, there was a number of things that were reviewed, and the primary things that we first addressed was where the bill is at. So let's just back up and overview where the bill started, where it's went, and where things are at now. So originally, GW Pharmaceutical bill language was essentially creating a new law to supersede existing law. The existing law they were trying to supersede with the language in the bill is to fix something we already have in place that prevents the doctors and pharmacists from dispensing and prescribing marijuana. There was discussions last week with GW's lobbyist, which ended up concluding in a complete revision of the bill. It's called a strikeout. So what they did is they changed all the old language, striked it out, ended up going back to the original statute to undo that thing, which is preventing the doctors and the pharmacists from prescribing and dispensing marijuana and marijuana concentrate. So now the bill, there was two bills, I would say two drafts. These items are posted on growhempcolorado.com if you guys do want to reference it before, during, or after the call. There is all the draft versions on the GW bill page on Grow Hemp Colorado, so you guys can follow along or check it out later. February 14th, the first changes came through with that revision on the date, the morning of the meeting. There was just a few final changes that were presented that morning. During the meeting, there was a lot of concerned stakeholders. They had been really just learning about this bill the first time, as the majority of everybody has in the last week or two. So there was a lot of concern about, patent issues, monopoly issues, how future FDA actions could be problematic for us, like unforeseen consequences. We also discussed the hemp foods bill, the lack of any kind of regulatory structure or system in place currently for industrial hemp products, like CBD. And then there was a lot of concern that we were rushing the GW bill and without having a lot of questions answered yet. So GW made a number of statements during that meeting and did some explanations to us about who would be benefiting from their drug. And it's about 1,000 kids, according to GW, in our state, which is a very small percentage for two specific conditions. So that was one of the interesting things they had stated to us there. There was also, on Saturday, a notice came down from the GW side that they were postponing the bill temporarily from going to hearing because there was some concerns from the marijuana side of the Colorado cannabis industry that also wanted to be addressed. So that's why things have been postponed for tomorrow. We are not having a committee hearing tomorrow. If anyone is trying to come and testify, please tell all your friends. We are not there yet, but we will keep everybody updated. I'm going to let Cindy jump in and cover other stuff that I may have missed out, and then we will continue from there. Cindy, do you want to tell everyone who you are and explain anything else about what's been going on?
Hi, Veronica, and thank you for letting me jump on your call. I appreciate the opportunity to participate in the dialogue. So I'm Cindy Sobine. I am a lobbyist, state of Colorado. This is my 20th legislative session, my fourth in cannabis, and I'm working representing Bob Hoban, Hoban Law Group, the Colorado Hemp Industries Association, and a number of the members that sit around the Hemp Legislative Roundtable. So I appreciate the opportunity to try to work to get us all on the same page as we move forward in this dialogue.
Absolutely.
Pleasure to have you. I wanted to specifically comment on the stakeholder meeting. In 2008, while all of the medical dispensaries were popping up all over the state, the pharmacists came out and passed this law that said no pharmacy shall dispense marijuana or marijuana derivative as a way to put out from their own fears this idea that people were going to be showing up at Walgreens and asking for marijuana. And flash forward 10 years later, we're now where the first drug for Epidiolex that is going to be approved here and wanting to be recommended prescribed in this state is ready to go to market. I mean, you've said June. I've heard earlier. I'm not entirely sure when they're planning on going to market. But the point being that this statute that was passed in 2008 is prohibiting them from being able to have doctors prescribe this drug. So the bill is introduced, while it had carve-outs for both the marijuana and the hemp industry, it did not repeal that statute. And we went directly toward the stakeholder meeting. We went into it with the intent of looking at repealing that statute and actually giving them the authority to go back in and do what they had the authority to do prior to 2008. This was the stated intent of their bill, and so that was when we were looking at what makes sense from this language perspective. In doing this, the stakeholder meeting was really only for hemp stakeholders. There weren't any medical marijuana patient community people that were invited, nor were there anybody from the marijuana industry. So it's called a strike below, which means you strike everything below the enacting clause, and you replace the language. And so when that strike below came out to those other communities with less than a full work day before the hearing, which would have been tomorrow, they said, whoa, wait, this, what's going on here? We weren't brought into the conversation on this. So GW Pharma's lobbyist made the decision over the weekend to say, we're gonna back up, we're gonna lay the bill over, not have it heard in committee tomorrow or on Tuesday, and wait to get all of the stakeholders to get a chance to get to the table and see if they can coalesce around language, period. That is really the update that I have. So, I mean, it's pretty consistent with, I think, everything that you've said, Veronica, in terms of where things are at and where we're going. I have to jump off because I have to attend to an appointment for my son. I can't stay on too late, but I know that you're probably going to want to discuss your thoughts on a go-forward approach, and I'd like to put out there mine if that's something that you're open to at this time.
Yeah, sure. I totally respect your time constraints. So if you want to go forward with that, that's awesome, and then I can move on after that about my position or tentative
position. Yeah, so I don't want to jump on your position, but what I've heard you say is that Grow Hemp Colorado is looking to take a pause, looking for GW to take a pause on this bill until next year. And the reality of what that statement means is that you will be looking to kill the bill this year. And I have a lot of concerns with the optics of the hemp community coming forward to try to kill this legislation and what that might look like to the legislature, given not only that they have been going out of their way to work with us to find language and protections that they would put in place, but also the mothers of the children that will be testifying. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics to this. So I guess my ask would be for consideration around this next stakeholder process, as we're already working through this. We've already begun negotiating. We've already engaged in a strike below with a number of protections. And I guess it would be my ask that we would at least continue to honor that conversation before we would choose to do something to the contrary of that, specifically killing the bill, because taking a pause means proactively trying to kill it. And I'm the 50,000 foot level looking at what's going on here. We do have a lot of priorities that we need to move forward. And again, concerned with the optics of how this will make the hemp industry look, you know, protectionism. If we're coming out trying to say, well, we're not going to move forward with, we aren't going to let GW enter the market until we carve out our space. I mean, that's what that looks like to the legislature. It doesn't matter whether you're selling hemp or alfalfa or corn. In a lot of ways, that's an optics thing that I really want the folks on this call to be aware of, as well as the other dynamics of the patient community and what's happening there. So I think there's opportunity for additional protections to be carved out. I think that there is opportunity for us to actually take a leadership role in carving out what will be the best model that every other state in the nation can then take and use to help protect themselves to move forward. And I would just leave it at continue to welcome the opportunity to have this dialogue with everyone and keep people informed of what's going on. It's very much my intention to be transparent with all around things as they unfold. It's a timing issue more than anything, and so every platform is welcome in terms of keeping people up to date. And Veronica, I appreciate the opportunity to keep talking with you as things progress. So I have a few minutes if you have questions or anybody has any specific questions of me before I have to jump off. But I, again, appreciate the opportunity to speak on this and look forward to keeping you all informed. I'm going to give my contact information, if that's okay, if anybody wants to reach out to me directly. My cell number is 720-290-5327. And my email, which is probably the best way to reach me, is Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at Sovine, S-O-V-I-N-E, consulting, Cindy at SovineConsulting.com. So I'll stop talking now and open it up to anybody else that might have questions.
Okay, so I did just unmute everybody. If you guys do have a question for Cindy before she gets off, and then after she gets off, we'll definitely continue the discussion. But you guys are welcome to jump in and ask her a question. If you'd like, just please introduce yourself, and if you don't mind saying who you're with. So any questions out there for Cindy before she has to jump off?
I guess if no one's going to ask anything, my name is Thomas Trunell, with the Law Office of Thomas C. Trunell. I also work as in-house counsel for Raw RX. Cindy, I'd just like to get your perspective on, with GW going forward with their drug, there are a number of people that voice their support for, you know, having that drug available for limited orphan drug participants and recipients of that drug. How do you see the CBD community being able to operate within that sphere? If everything goes as planned, GW gets their approval, it moves forward, the legislation passes with the strike-throughs that happen. Just looking at it from our perspective here, how do you see us being able to operate within that new world?
Thank you for the question. I think from the beginning, from the first time that we had this conversation, my only desire and intention is to create the protections in statute that prevent GW Pharma from doing anything else other than what they are specifically talking about. We really cannot stop this wave from coming. This is the first of a number of drugs that are in the pipeline set to be released over the years. And we're already seeing this legislation move throughout the country. I believe it's in 9 or 10 states. So what we have the opportunity to do right now is to create that pharmaceutical lane that has that legislative firewall of the protections for the hemp and cannabis industries as they exist today, and to be able to work to make sure that the products that you are manufacturing today continue in the same environment, because we carve out those particular pieces in state law and say nothing within this section shall prohibit any access to, or any other section of state law for that matter, shall prohibit access to the work that we're doing here. And that is, or the work that you're doing here. And that is, again, to speaking to something we can do for the rest of the nation, that is carving out a lane that they have to stay in, if you will, while allowing your lane to continue. And I think there are a number of different things that you can look at. I guess from a standpoint, from a legislative standpoint, the way that I look at it is these things will happen to you unless you make them happen for you. And that's really kind of the conversation that we're having right now is, do we use this opportunity to forge our path and keep, you know, the lanes of operation that you currently have now, or do you take all your political capital and try to argue against the intent of this bill of getting access to these kids and try to kill it for this year and let all of the other states continue to move forward with the legislation we don't want to see and then take a stab at it next year? And there's definitely different schools. Go ahead.
Sorry. So you foresee a world in which CBD is allowed and put in edible products. You see a world in which CBD is allowed to be put into tinctures and things of that nature while the lane of the pharmaceutical industry remains open as well.
That's the world that I'm fighting for, because you can't make the pharmaceutical companies go away. And if you protect your rights under the statute to continue to exist, and then to Veronica's point, continue to forge those forward even more, the more protections that you build into the statute, the better, the more that you create for yourself within statute, the better. But it really starts with carving out the statutes as they exist. And the draft and the strike below, the current introduced bill and the strike below, both have those protections in place in terms of the overall governing statutes and constitutional provisions that allow the hemp industry to exist today.
Gotcha. I've got a couple follow-up questions, but I'll back off and I'll hit you up through email on some of those issues on that. And I appreciate you taking the time for this call.
Absolutely. I appreciate you allowing me to offer my perspective.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thanks.
Anyone else?
I just want to make a note really quick. I accidentally was pushing buttons on my back end manager. So if I muted anyone accidentally or dropped their call or anything weird just happened, sorry about that. Is there any other questions for Cindy before she has to jump off, and then we will continue on?
No, Veronica, this is Pamela. I just got on. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. I was not sure what I just did back there. Okay, does anyone else have any questions for Cindy before she has to jump off? One last call for questions for Cindy. Okay, sounds like there's none. Cindy, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your time earlier on the call, and of course we have a lot more work to do, and I'll be happy to fill you in if you need any filling in after this call.
Yeah, let's touch base after you're done, and we can go from there. Okay, let's talk in the morning if we don't talk sooner.
Okay, awesome. Have a good afternoon.
All right.
Evening.
You too. Thanks.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. We're going to keep moving forward and having discussions about further discussions So we, again, this afternoon at noon, we did have a conference call earlier. So today, this is our second one. Some things were discussed on the conference call this afternoon, which I'll fill you in on. One of those things was the current position of GrowHemp Colorado, our members and other stakeholders involved in this process. I would like to back up and say there has been a lot of work done on this bill since October that has been noted. Now, none of that work has been done necessarily with the stakeholders. It was definitely done with Cindy and the GW lobbyists and the sponsors of the bill. But most of the industry has just become aware of this in the last weekish or so. So things are moving pretty fast. It is great that GW has kind of bent over backwards, you could say, to revise language, strike out, you know, attempt to appease the marijuana and the hemp industry with our concerns. So the next steps will be, there will be some stakeholder meetings, as I had mentioned, with the MJ side, the hemp side, and GW side to further address concerns. These calls were in preparation really for tomorrow at the hearing, and to kind of get everyone prepped and ready and to kind of come to a firm position. The biggest fear I have is coming before the senators and the legislators at the Capitol divided. It's really important to me, and I think the majority of us, that we are all have a united position on this bill as well as other ones that affect the hemp industry. So I'll kind of give you guys an explanation real quick of where GrowHemp Colorado is at with the GW bill as it stands currently. So right now, I feel it is important for us to put it on pause. Yes, in essence, that does mean kill the bill. But I want to say put it on pause. Stop it this year, and let's address a lot more questions, concerns. Let's see what happens with the FDA and any other federal actions when GW does get approved. So what's going to happen when GW gets approved? There will be a recommendation by FDA to DEA to reschedule. It will be either scheduled to 4 or 5. No one quite knows yet. There also has been some discussions that FDA is working on a 300-page change or addition to their CBD position policy regulations, whatever we want to call it. There hasn't been, my hands have not been on that. There's only a few people I know who've seen parts of that draft that was mentioned in the meeting on Thursday. I believe we need to put this on pause. We're not in a rush in hemp to get this done. GW is. There's a lot of unforeseen consequences. We just don't know. There's still a lot of questions to be answered. In addition, Colorado currently has no regulatory structure or laws or provisions regarding hemp products, like hemp food products or CBD products in particular. We do have a policy statement that CDCAC adopted last year, which is not law. It could be revised at any time. It can also be pulled at any time. So right now we have no legal protection. The hemp industry is proactively working this year on things that will protect our products, our manufacturers, consumers, wholesalers, distributors, et cetera. One of those key legislative bills that will be dropping in March next month will be the hemp foods bill. What is the hemp foods bill? The hemp foods bill is something that the industry agreed to last year that we needed. Didn't happen for multiple reasons. Well, actually, probably one reason. But this year, we are doing the hemp foods bill again. We already have the first draft of the bill. We have sponsors for the bill. The hemp foods bill does one thing in essence. One core thing it does is create a new definition for hemp foods. And that includes all parts of the hemp plant, including all compounds, cannabinoids, derivatives, et cetera, treating them as food, not a drug. And it also makes sure that hemp food cannot be considered adulterated ingredients or adulterated or mislabeled. Right now, the FDA considers CBD products for human consumption and use and animal adulterated and mislabeled, as well as should not be crossing state lines. That's already the position they take. So in my opinion, we need to hemp, industrial hemp here in Colorado, we need to focus on the things that will protect us and get things situated in our state first that aren't existing currently. before we start trying to make agreements or further negotiate with GW and unforeseen consequences, questions that are still coming up, and what might happen with future federal changes and how it will impact us. So GW keeps pulling the sick kid card, which I think we all get. There is one thing we all agree about, no matter what side of the fence you're on. We don't want to restrict access to the cannabis plant because we all know that there's tons of benefits to the cannabis plant. I know there's discussion about creating two pathways, one for prescription drugs and one for artisanal products or, you know, food, depending on where that goes. Again, we are not in a rush to do this. It's GW. So the kids that are being left behind, as they would say, if this bill doesn't pass, there also is a solution for that. And the solution would be that the hemp industry, alongside the marijuana industry, for those who wanted to participate, we would take those 1,000 kids, if there's that many, under our wing and provide free product to them for the next year until we could readdress this bill next session and hopefully come to some conclusion.
You're coming in a little muted there. Can you back up 2 sentences and say that again?
Oh, sure. What part did you last hear?
Back up like 2 sentences. You basically said, we're going to do this, and then I lost you.
Let's see. We're going to do the hemp foods bill. We're still going to meet with stakeholders. We're still progressing. We're still progressing forward on this bill. So ideally, if we stop, if we put a pause on it, which would essentially mean kill it, but I like to say pause, and we readdress issues for the next year and revisit this next session, there's a high chance, that very, very high likelihood, we can all come to terms and support a future bill. We, again, are not in a rush to do this. It's GW. They are expecting a federal approval, FDA approval. They said January 27th-ish, and their drug would not be available till October.
Veronica, can I build on that?
Yes, absolutely.
So you are absolutely 100% correct that our bargaining power ends when that bill is approved in GW's favor. And like you said, nobody wants the kids. Nobody wants to withhold anything from it, but I really like your position and your idea that, you know, we have a place at this table too. And if, you know, GW's in a hurry, we're not. And we don't have any protection, like you said, under terms of law. So if they want this bill passed and they want to work with us, I'm happy to work with them. I don't have a problem with them, you know, having their drug available. But I think it's imperative that we carve out some protections within the legislature to give us some statewide protection while this goes through. And if GW wants their bill unopposed, then, I mean, it's great that they took out some of that language, but once again, we were never consulted. This was something that they did, and they pushed forward, and people in the community really weren't part of it. So now we are. Now we're aware of it. Now the community's aware of it. So I would really like to see GW step up to the plate and say, okay, we're carving out a lane, like their language said, a lane on the freeway for for the pharmaceutical superhighway. That's great.
We're
driving on an unpaved access road. You help us create at least a slow lane. Give us a goddamn carpool lane, for crying out loud, and let us have something to drive on, and we'll support you. I don't think many people in this room are trying to vie for them in terms of getting a drug released against their interests. That's not our interest, but I think the least they could do is try to support us legislatively with their political capital to get us some protection. Because I don't know what you're going to do when, you know, the FDA, I've read that, you know, today. I was going over that, and, you know, the federal prohibitions against using CBD and food, using CBD and food across the state lines, that all exists.
Right.
And we need some state protection. And then I'd also like to look at, you know, possibly as this goes forward too, building a case where we prepare for that, because you're going to have a fight on your hands. I'm going to have a fight on our hands. We're all going to have a fight on our hands in about June, July, when the FDA turns around and says, okay, now we're going to address this because it's a drug that's been approved. It's very easy to send out those letters, and we can fight them on certain issues, like having CBD being used as a supplement prior to the 2009 GW integration on that. That can be fought, but we need to be organized, and we have to have some money to do it. So those are my thoughts on that.
Sorry about that.
I believe it was Tom. Wasn't it Tom with the
yes.
What law firm are you with? I forget. I'm sorry.
My own firm, the law office of Trinell and Sellers, and I also work in house counsel for a company.
Yes. Okay, so let me address some concerns that are brought up about what you said and what I've been saying. So part of what's being brought up is that we're anti-competition. My answer to that is we are absolutely not anti-competition. We already compete with each other. We compete with other states. That's not an issue I don't think any of us would agree about in relation to having something perceived wrong with the legislative body regarding hemp, if we object to this or don't seem reasonable or negotiable. I don't agree with that personally. I've been doing this for a while now, and I can tell you that at the Capitol, they are very bipartisan when it comes to hemp. So far, all pro-hemp bills have passed unanimously, I believe.
Close to unanimously.
Yeah, there you go. So they've been totally for us. Hemp is super sexy down at the Capitol. They realize this is a thriving industry that has brought a lot of economic value to our state, a lot of jobs, possibilities and opportunities. There's environmental benefits, all sorts of stuff. So I don't really believe that the legislative body is ready to reject us in future hemp bills, or it will cause a problem moving forward with our agenda, what protects hemp down the road. So I just don't agree with that. Now, regarding the hemp foods bill is probably the most important part of legislative session for the hemp industry this year, because when we change the Food and Drug Act, which I want to emphasize, CDPHE does not want that. They do not want to change the Food and Drug Act. There's a federal Food and Drug Act. Every state has a Food and Drug Act. They basically all look the same to the federal Food and Drug Act. Once FDA makes changes for CBD and rescheduling of any code, that will affect all the different state Food and Drug Acts in essence. And so because we have a policy statement currently, that policy statement could just get pulled. And then all CBD is considered a drug by CDPHE because FDA came down and said that. It's really unknown what will happen, so I'm just speculating. It's also problematic for CDPHE to do a change, at least according to them, in the Food and Drug Act, because they get a certain amount of funding from FDA, from the federal side, which they believe would jeopardize that. All I'm asking is that we get treated like corn and carrots. I consider my CBD like beta carotene to my carrots, and that's how I want us to be treated. And in our Food and Drug Act, we essentially say in our state, all parts of the hemp plant, including cannabinoids, are treated as food and not a drug. So it's part of my concern is if we say, okay, we approve GW being an FDA-approved drug, and dispensed here in our states, great, but how does that conflict potentially with hemp being treated as food in our state? Is there
Veronica,
a potential conflict down the road?
Mm-hmm. Can I jump in that?
Yes.
On that? Because Tom,
please
Tom
do.
Actually gave me an idea. So anybody, this is Grant Orvis, by the way. So we use GW to help us get the bill, right? So say, hey, we have a problem with our hemp foods bill. If you guys are really legitimate and want to do things properly in this industry, then support the hemp foods bill, and we will in turn support your bill after the hemp foods bill passes and see if they actually support it.
That would be amazing, and I will definitely throw that in there. The thing is, there is a problem with the hemp foods bill right now. The problem is that if Cindy was on the line, she could explain her position better, but they, being Bob Hoban, Cindy, HIA Colorado, and the Roundtable, at least from what I was told earlier today, that they would prefer a different route for hemp foods. They would prefer it to be treated as an ag product versus under our Food and Drug Act here in the state. So there's not consensus, at least on that side, about the hemp foods bill right now, which is
Veronica,
problematic to me.
Can you expand on what an ad product is?
Yeah,
well,
go ahead, Veronica, and then I'll jump in on that too.
Well, so last year there was a second hemp foods bill written that attempted to make hemp under ag law, so that all parts of hemp were an ag product, and that's pretty much it. That doesn't fly with CDA. CDPHC is happy with that because they don't want the Food and Drug Act changed. I think there's no legal protection in changing under the ag law because it just doesn't make sense, and it doesn't really go to the core of the problem. Grant, you can go ahead and say what you're going to say.
So that's where GW will be useful, because who cares if Bob doesn't like it and whoever else don't like it and they want to go under CDA. They want it to go under CDA so that it's not regulated, because when you get it into CDPHE, then they actually have to follow and track it as a human consumable product, which it is and needs to be in state statute. GW has an easy path to state how that's true, because it can be handled like a drug, and throughout that system should be tracked like any other human consumable product. So having GW on board with the hemp foods bill negates anything that Bob Hoban and the HIA want to do.
Well, and I want to be sure that we're clear. I'm not trying to bash any group or any other agenda. Unfortunately, there is another, I would consider, minority side that is in favor of a different direction. I've been obsessing about this and living and breathing it for 2 years now. So I'm very, very firm that this is the direction that most protects hemp. And I also believe that this is a model for other states to implement down the road as well for their hemp foods and their own Food and Drug Act, or whatever their state calls it. So there is some, there will be more updating on that. Again, that bill should drop next month. And there actually is another industry bill that will be coming. Hasn't been announced yet, but everyone should be totally stoked about that one also. So I will be updating more about the hemp foods bill. We'll have this discussion, but not to diverse too much off the, divert too much off the GW issue. You know, this is still ongoing, and I want to make sure everyone knows that I, at least on Grow Hemp Colorado side, is not closed off to negotiations or further discussions. In fact, I'm totally open to that. But right now, if committee was tomorrow, I would be encouraging everyone to get on board with putting a pause on the bill, making sure that the representatives and senators were understanding that our industry is more than prepared to help the 1,000 kids that need our product. And the reason why I say that is because in the meeting on the 15th, GW actually said, one of the representatives in there said, if the kids cannot afford it or they don't have insurance to cover it, then they can go and use our product. So there's no reason why for the next year they can't use our products either, and at no cost. So I already have at least 12 companies that have agreed to do it, both big, medium, and small. And I'm sure many others would come on board.
I'm sorry, you have 12 companies for what?
That have agreed to provide free product to these 1,000 kids, if there's 1,000 kids, to provide product to any of the kids.
I can talk to my CEO and see if we make that 13.
I didn't sign up, sorry.
No, go ahead, one at a time. Go ahead, Tom, I'm sorry. I thought, what did you say?
Oh, I just said I'll talk to my CEO and see if we can make that number 13.
Okay, right on. And then, Pamela, what did you say?
The same thing. I didn't know we had a sign up where we could do this.
No, this is something I've been working on this weekend in strategy for Tuesday, but since we're not having the hearing anymore, now we're just basically keeping everyone updated and having further discussions about that.
You can count in.
What was that?
Add me to that list.
Okay. So just so we're clear, though, I am getting resistance with that position because they're trying to say that, you know, some people are saying we're not negotiating. We're being exclusive. We don't want competition. You know, we don't want to carve out a pathway for pharma. My response to that is the hemp industry barely just knew about this. We're kind of caught off guard in some aspect, at least the majority of us. There's a lot of unanswered questions. We still have this whole year to go to see what kind of federal intervention or actions are taking place. So once we create law, it's really hard to undo it. So I'd rather be conservative in the approach with this big pharma bill that's not even in the country before I put it up above our hemp industry here in the state, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. I think I keep missing something, like I was trying to say earlier, this POV personally, was that my understanding is once GW gets their approval for a pharmaceutical drug, wouldn't that squash what we're trying to do? Because here it's just made a pharmaceutical.
That's a good question. That was one of the things that got brought up at the meeting, is not only that question, but the perspective of the federal government of Colorado agreeing to this bill, saying, yes, we recognize it as a drug. And then other people have brought up the issue of the patents. GW says they don't have patents. You know, they don't have necessarily a patent on CBD. The government holds that patent. But at the same time, they did explain they will be given, I think it's 7 years exclusivity for at least the two items, that the conditions are approved for the percentage of kids in this country that have those ailments. Of course, there's always the future potential of other drug applications, new drug applications that, you know, might even cover sleep apnea or other things that could prevent us down the road. See, we just don't know. That's part of the issue. Go ahead.
So in that vein, Veronica, here's another just talking point to think of. I agree with you that, you know, GW is under the gun more than we are in terms of pacing on this.
Mm-hmm.
But play it
mm-hmm.
out. You know, GW gets through their stage three trials. It becomes, you know, CBD is licensed in their product and it comes about. The FDA then turns its guns towards anyone producing CBD within the state of Colorado. If we work with them on a bill prior to their drug coming out, under the conditions that they have to work with us on the food bill to get the things that we need and carve out state protection, then we're back on equal footing, much like marijuana was with the federal government in terms of it's still against the federal government's law, but we have state protection. And if another sort of coal bill comes through, we're in compliance with state law. We have more firmer ground to stand on. If we wait a year and the FDA turns its guns on us, that may drive out. It has the potential of destroying a lot of businesses during that pendency in which we wait. So I'm not saying one way or the other is better. I just wanted to bring up that narrative that might be an issue of time constraint that we have to deal with too.
No, and I appreciate that. And that's why I'm pushing so hard for the hemp foods bill to pass this session, because that hemp foods bill ideally will protect us. So, for example, if FDA does make changes because DEA just turned everything to Schedule 4 or 5 and FDA takes a new position on CBD and just says it's all a drug and that's it, it could affect us. But with the Hemp Foods Bill, inserting a definition in our Food and Drug Act, it will mandate that FDA, DEA, or anyone who wants to litigate with our manufacturers, processors, farmers, consumers, producers, whatever, they will have to come after the state
exactly.
as a whole.
Exactly, and that's why I'm saying we might want to keep the dialogue going on that to get their support on the food bill so that everyone, their drug comes out fine, and we have some state protection to stand on. So that's the only point that I was raising.
Yeah, no, I would totally be open to that option if we pass the hemp foods bill first and then GW maybe perhaps after and then maybe perhaps some additional language get in the GW bill that's in the same lines along our hemp foods definition just so it all lines up and makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But to pass the GW bill in front of the hemp foods bill here in our state.
No, I think that's probably the consensus around the table. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who's got it?
I'm on board 100% for that idea, Tom.
Yeah.
They got to help us pass the hemp foods bill before we will help them pass their bill.
Great. So how
and
do we
their bill that? Being an adjustment of the language that it is, as it is now.
Excellent. So how do we construct that narrative to them so that they see the value of that? Because I can tell you just from a bargaining perspective, when we say, no, we're not going to do this, we want you to do this first, it's human nature. It's human nature to say, but we gave, because in their mindset, they've given us the strike through on all that. So that's their pushback point. They say, we gave you this. If we come to them with just that position of saying, support our food bill first, then we'll help you, 50% chance they'll tell us to go to hell. So we need to construct it in a way that we are giving them something in some way, in some narrative that says, hey, we're going to do this here for you. Congratulations. Now, what we need from you is we need support on this hemp food bill, and then we're going to go even further, and we're going to come to bat for you on this pharmaceutical thing. So, I don't know, maybe that's something we think about, because I really think that we're sort of on a knife's edge in terms of negotiations with these people, and how little it would take for them to just sort of go the other way and say, screw it. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes. And
yeah.
Their risk of saying screw it is their bill gets killed. So there still is leverage there, but
absolutely.
I need to think about that for like 48 hours and then come
yes.
up with something good. But yeah, there is a negotiation there, and everybody wins if both bills pass.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
It's not like it's a bad, bad thing.
Absolutely.
All right, I got to go, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Veronica, there's mediation, too. Lawyers will often use a mediator to come to points that are very difficult to reach with just the two parties alone, and they're relatively inexpensive. I think it's like around $500 to $1,000 for a day and a half, maybe a day of that. So there's a couple of people I can recommend if that's something that we actually want to sit down and get them in a round table on. Because it's a structured environment, and it's facilitated, and the points don't get thrown around more than once. You have a very straightforward, conductive meeting on terms of what one side wants, what the other side's willing to give, what the other side wants, and what the other side wants to get.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I feel like, you know, it's unfortunate this didn't get kind of dealt with before now. There's been maybe a little bit of misrepresentation that has happened. Leading the bill sponsor, as well as DW, to believe that the hemp industry is for this bill, when in reality we're just all learning about it. I do want to say that the marijuana side of the Colorado industry touched base or reached out to GW lobbyists this weekend. I believe a lot of it, and I don't know for sure, so this is not conclusive. But I believe a lot of that had to do with two things. One is we had a stakeholder meeting and they weren't invited. Again, that was a stakeholder meeting just for hemp. Two is that the language of the bill got changed from cannabidiol to marijuana. So I'm not sure if the marijuana side said we didn't have a problem with it under cannabidiol. Mm-hmm. Of course, the hemp industry side said, yes, we do. And I'm not sure if the marijuana industry side is concerned about the word marijuana and marijuana extract now being in there. Mm-hmm. We have to also keep in mind that marijuana has over 900 pages of regulations, established regulatory structure. Hemp has maybe 9, and it's all around cultivation. So we're not on equal footing with the MJ industry, although there is crossover in some aspect, and there is a potential this still could impact both sides of our cannabis industry. We just don't know it all yet. Can there be carve-outs? Can there be additional language added in? Absolutely. Is anyone opposed to that at this point? No. But if it was tomorrow when we were going to committee, that was where I was going to direct everyone with this solution. And I have a lot of consensus on this position right now where we hold off a year, take care of the kids under our umbrella in the state. But, again, things changed on Saturday. So I've been guaranteed a seat at the next stakeholder meeting with two other representatives from the hemp side. So we just don't know yet where things are going. They want to keep pushing the bill forward, which I completely respect, but we also need to focus on the hemp industry here in Colorado and figure out how to protect us best and make those legislation actions happen. That's where I'm at with it all.
Gotcha.
Veronica, is there a date in March already for the hemp food bill?
There's not a date set yet, no.
Okay, thanks.
No, I just got the last bill, the bill revision the other day, and there was some minor changes. Our biggest battle with the hemp food bill is going to be twofold. EDPHC is the top problem.
Right.
And then we have the other side of the hemp industry, like Hoban side, who wants to approach it differently. which I'm not really budgetable on my position at this point. I'm going for this 100,000%, and I can't be moved. That's just how there is to it. If we have competing bills, it will look problematic in front of the legislators and senators, and we don't want that for sure. Like, that is the number one concern of mine, that we look like divided industry in front of them. So, yeah, does anyone else have any questions or comments? Now, I want everyone to feel free to comment or question anything. This is a public forum. We all have a right to have our opinions heard, even if we don't all agree all the time or like each other. That's okay.
When's the next roundtable that you were invited to?
There hasn't been a time scheduled. I believe the Sensei Cederberg has got involved. You know, it's a 3-day weekend. So I've reached out to Christian Cederberg to see if he wants to talk beforehand. Otherwise, nothing's been scheduled yet. I have provided a platform if they need a backup, and I'll make sure we all have a space. But they don't want the public then. They don't want emotional people there, what they told me. And I try to explain that we are emotional, quote-unquote, because this is all just being brought up now, and there's millions and millions of dollars invested on our side and livelihoods at stake. So people are concerned, and maybe there are some little upsetness going on. But, you know.
Well, P&P, professional and polite, everyone can do that.
I'm working on it.
You've done a great job. Hey, I'm going to take off here. Veronica, I can't thank you enough for bringing attention to this issue for me and getting everything organized and being a little scrapper. So
thank you
so much for that, and I will talk to you guys here, I'm sure, very shortly.
Have a good evening.
See you.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, so, yeah, again, I just want to reiterate that all this information is on growhempcolorado.com. I've dedicated a whole page to the GW bill and updates to it. If you guys have not subscribed to our newsletter on Grow Hemp Colorado, please do so, because I'll be keeping everyone informed via the newsletter, social media, the website. It's really important we participate in this process. Session goes on for the next few months. It's not always fun. It can be a bit painful and stressful, but it's all worth it in the end. I just want to make sure if anyone has any other questions or things to be considered that I can bring up at the stakeholders meeting. Our last call at noon, there was a nurse on the line. She was trying to get clarification whether the current bill, the current GW bill language, would allot for other provisioning of dispensing of marijuana products. It looks like the answer is no right now, because it's only going to be for FDA approved. The FDA approval will only be for two specific conditions at this time. So there is other questions coming from the patient side of MJ also right now. So this is a big deal. This is a very big deal, and we are ground zero. We are at the front lines. What Colorado does with this bill, it is very, very important. The whole world is watching us right now, as usual.
Well, Montana's watching you.
Hey. Right? Well, we support Montana, absolutely, and you can. So does anyone else have any questions or any comments that they'd like to bring up or anything else? Don't be afraid. Okay. So this call was recorded. It will be uploaded to Grow Hemp Colorado. There is an RSS feed. Please stay posted for upcoming hearing stuff and updates. Thank you guys all for your participation and your interest in this really critical topic, because it definitely impacts us all, or could. So thank you guys. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having you too.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye, guys. Bye. Stay warm.
Bye.